I'd ask that you take up your Bibles with me at this time, turning to the book of John, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, where we'll take for our text this morning verses 35 through 59. Certainly in terms of that and communion this morning, a cursory look, a text that we have looked at in the past together. That reminder of that context here, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Here is that blessing, and now here are people the next day who come still looking for bread, still looking for food, that which perishes. And so Jesus speaks then, I am the bread of life. I am him who you are to feast in, that feast that is laid then before us this morning. Let's hear these words then. John 6, beginning in verse 35, hear now the word of the living God. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let's also turn to a faithful summary of that word in the red hymnal in front of you, the maroon hymnal. In the Trinity Psalter in the back pages to Lord's Day 28, found on page 884. And for the sake of time this morning, I'm going to just read these question and answers this morning, 75 through 77. But pay careful attention. We're going to refer to these words again through our sermon this morning. But use this as an additional time of preparation as we come, that the Lord in his providence leads us to being able to teach about the table and partake in it this morning as well. And so question 75 asks, how does the Holy Supper remind and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his benefits? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him. With this command comes these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup shared with me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and in this way to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one spirit as the members of our body are by one soul. And where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood? As surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup. In the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul in these words, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." As far as the reading of our confession, may he apply it in the truth of his word to our hearts and to our lives this day. Let's ask him to do that in a moment of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to familiar words this morning, to a familiar table, to familiar truths, Father, may they be new, may they be fresh. May you feed us by them, that bread of life, that we may continue to proclaim the wonder of him who called us out of darkness into light, to continue, Father, in hearing by that word that you bring many sons to glory. And so we pray, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I just need to be fed. I just need a time of refreshing. And a lot of you who are sitting here this morning have probably said those very things a time or two, maybe even this week or even this morning, a time or two. And usually when we say those things, we're talking about our physical bodies and existence. And so when we feel the need to be fed, when we need nourishment, we eat. We take care of it. When we need refreshment, be that if we're thirsty or if we're tired, we drink or we rest. And while there are times that we don't nourish ourselves well in the things that we eat, nor give our bodies and minds the opportunities to rest as they need, we still know what we need. And so we pray that the Lord would provide those things to us in his will and way. But when talking about needing to be fed or needing to be nourished, typically we're talking more about our spiritual needs. And I want you to think about that for a minute, because ultimately that's what we desperately need. That's why we come here even this morning. And we need it. We need to be strengthened because we've been fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil all week. We've been running the race set before us. We've been striving and straining toward the prize. And so we need to eat well. We need to be refreshed because we're tired and weary and worn. We're discouraged. And so what a blessing is then that invitation to come. Come and eat. Come and drink. Come and rest. Drink deeply and rest. That's why we come here. That's why we come week by week. Not that we just come to church once a week or once a year or once in a while. We've gotten our fill and then we're spiritual camels and we go on. No, we need to come. We have to keep eating. We need to keep resting. And so when we need to know the Lord's great work on our behalf and his love for us, we come to his presence. It's the only place that we can find what we need. We come to his table, and in so doing so, we confess our need to the Lord, to nourish and refresh our souls. And that's ultimately what the Lord is promising in John chapter 6. It's what he promises, certainly in the words of institution, as we've heard, in giving to the people the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that which is laid before us today. But he does that not just by giving a word or giving a promise, but he does it by giving himself. I am the bread of life. He gives us his body and blood, true spiritual food and drink, that we would be nourished and refreshed unto eternal life in him now and forevermore. And that's what we want to concentrate on this morning in this theme. The Lord nourishes and refreshes his people with himself the bread of life. And so in using this word in our confession this morning, we see three things about that bread that he gives us. He gives us or feeds us with bread that satisfies, that's in verses 35 to 40, with bread that vivifies or brings to life in verses 41 through 51, and then with bread that abides in verses 52 through 58. The Lord nourishes and refreshes his people with himself, the bread of life. And so hear it again in the joy and truth that it is. He is the bread of life. He is what we need to feast upon so we would know what it is to be truly satisfied. Think about that. Of what it is to have satisfaction after a good meal. Maybe you loosen your belt a little bit. That was good. I hit the spot. We're satisfied. But sometimes when we eat, we're not satisfied, right? Kids, maybe in the last week you've eaten a lot of Reformation candy. It's always there, and you keep popping it, and you keep eating it. Oh, this is good, you think. But what happens soon after? Well, you got to eat again. You're not satisfied. Nobody, as hard as they try, can make candy a meal. You see, you want something else. It's because you've been eating junk. And so when we eat junk food, our bodies aren't taking in the nutrition that they want to be satisfied. And so your body communicates with you, keep eating. Keep eating. I need something. But all you're going to get is fat. It's not the way. And so if we keep eating junk food, we will never be satisfied. It's the same thing spiritually. Here are these people running after Jesus again for bread. And not that there wasn't anything nutritious about it, but they're looking for something less than what he provides and offers. And you're going to keep eating that, and you're going to keep coming back for this instead of coming to ultimately get that which will satisfy. As we live in this world, as much as we laugh at our kids in that analogy of Reformation candy, we take in a lot of junk too, and that isn't just food. We take in our fill of the junk of idolatry, of materialism, of pride, or of envy. We take in the fruit of any number of sins. And it makes us fat in the things of this world too. Not ready to serve, certainly. But yet there's still something in us that says, I want to be satisfied. I want to eat that which is best. I want that which ultimately brings satisfaction. It's the power of what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, right? That which we used for our call to worship this morning. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Here's the way. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. A free and eternal supply. Here it is. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why are you spending yourself for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. That Jesus is drawing near to his people and taking this time now to say, eat something better. Take in something better. For in him will be all our delight and blessing. In him and in him alone we are satisfied. And Jesus makes it plain in John 6. Look again with me at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. There's your promise. Here it is. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Don't worry about the other stuff. Give yourself to me. But I said to you that you have seen me and don't believe. There's the struggle, right? And yet he's still faithful to that provision. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven for what? To satisfy them. More than that, to satisfy the Father. You will find your satisfaction in me because I satisfy the Father, not doing my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What a satisfaction! In feasting in this bread of life, here's what's provided. No lack, no want. And that is the truth that we have been given in communion with Jesus Christ. That as we are fed in the bread of life, this is truth. This is what we live for. This is that hope. And yet it's so easy for us to look away from it. Even this morning, right? Simple cut-up bread and some grape juice. I'd rather have candy. I'd rather have the stuff of this world. I'd rather keep holding on to my sin. The illusion of holiness. I'd rather eat that. No. No, for when you come to this word, when we come to this visible word in the table of the Lord, we taste and see that the Lord is good in all of his promise and all of our hope and all of his glory. That he is the reason we believe, that he is the reason we have life. He is the one who has fulfilled the Father's will and standard of righteousness for us. He will keep us as his own forever, and we will feast in the knowledge that he will bring us to himself in the last day. That's what we eat. That's what we're satisfied in. That we are satisfied in eating the bread of life because he was given for our nourishment and refreshment. And that's what our confession is getting at this morning. How does this Holy Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all of his benefits? And even there, we hear three things about that satisfaction. The first is this: in eating the bread of life, that bread satisfies his command. Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him. That we come this morning eating and drinking this cup because Jesus commands us to, because he's given them for the purpose of our blessing in him and communing in him. I am the bread of life. I feed you myself. And so feast in that and find your blessing in that. That bread also then satisfies his requirement. Because God has a requirement, right? The fulfilling of righteousness. And Jesus said, I am that bread. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup shared with me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and blood poured out for me on the cross. That he is bread that satisfies because he satisfies the justice of the Father for those who believe that we may have life. And that's the assurance in which we come. For the bread satisfies his promise. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. He is our satisfaction. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you will only find satisfaction in him? That's the call of the table. That's the call of the gospel. That if we believe, we will eat and drink deeply in life. May he be your longing. That even that small taste that we have this morning, may it awaken in us a longer and deeper longing. Trusting that he has satisfied the Father's will for us, so that we would find our greatest satisfaction in him. He is the true bread that satisfies, and he is the true bread that brings life. In that second place, with bread that vivifies, because that's what that word means. Kids, you can impress your teachers on Monday. Vivification means to bring life or to bring to life. And so when we eat that which is good, our life is strengthened. You see these videos of these world's strongest man, and they have to give themselves to what? To basically eating all day. That's their work. They work out and get strong, but in order to do that, they have to eat. That some of you young people are starting to play sports, and you know, if I don't eat right, I'm going to bonk out in the game. It's not going to go well. And so we need life, and we take life from food. And so for us to be nourished and refreshed in Christ, we need to take in true spiritual food. We need that which comes to us from heaven. And that comes to us by faith alone. That the bread makes us alive, through faith alone. That as we come here this morning, again, it's just simple bread and simple grape juice, no differently than when we come to the font. It's just simple water from the well. That's it. And yet what God does with it through faith is extraordinary because he gives us his word and his body. That is what is to be believed, but that's the struggle, right? Because maybe some of you are hearing this morning and saying, well, we're not eating flesh and we're not drinking blood. I mean, that sounds a little bit more Halloween than Reformation, right? But when we believe, we have that which is true. We have that which is spiritual. And it's what the Jews grumbled about, right? Look again at verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I came down from heaven? And you see, that gets really at the nature of the supper, right? Because the supper is not an evangelism tool. We struggle with that sometimes in terms of our communication with other churches, right? Because, oh, just have everyone come and have everyone participate. But that isn't the point. It's never been the point. No, when we come as a feast, not given to people to be saved, but to strengthen those who have been. To those who have been given faith in order that they would be refreshed in the truth of the gospel and the love of Christ. That's what we come to do this day. Again, in question and answer 76, what does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart. Belief has to be first before we come. That the entire suffering and death of Christ, and in this way to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life, that it must be believed. That you can't have the Holy Supper apart from having the Holy Gospel. That's the truth. And it is the only way to new and abundant life. And such eating gives testimony to the fact that we come only through the work of the Lord. Look at verse 43. Jesus answered them, do not grumble about yourself. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Here it is, not, oh, well, find your way to Jesus and then come. No, Jesus has found his way to you because by way of the Father's will have you. And he will draw you. He will literally, in the Greek, I will drag you to myself. And praise the Lord that he does. Because we would continue to put our heels in the ground and cross our arms and say, we're not going anywhere. But he draws us. And as it's written in the prophets, verse 45, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. That this bread given to us by the Father is a statement. I have saved you. I have redeemed you. I am your righteousness. And then he uses that bread to make us come alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and drink his poured out blood? Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so although he is in heaven and we're on earth, we're flesh of his flesh and bone of our bone. We're brought into union and communion. That's why we call it communion, kids. We are having fellowship with the Lord around his table. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and we forever live on and are governed by one spirit as the members of our body are by one soul. That as we eat this bread, those realities are worked in us by the Spirit so that we would come alive in strength and in beauty and in grace in Christ. It's about union with him. Because we are not just nourished and refreshed with him, we are nourished and refreshed in him. His power is our power. His strength is our strength. That's what we eat together by faith. We have life in him. That's why he says it again. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Yeah, we already heard it. Hear it again. This is what you eat unto life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. Don't be so caught up in your physical food. Don't be caught up with this thing that you know God will provide for me. Look at the ravens. They don't sow. They don't harvest. Yet God provides for them. Worry about what is best. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That is his call to you this morning, regardless of whether or not you partake in the sacrament with us today. You must eat of this bread. Again, not the table. The true bread that is Christ. You must. There is no life apart from him. Hear it clearly. Hear Christ speaking to you clearly. I am the living bread. I have lived a life of obedience for you in every way. I will give my body, which he has done on the cross for us and has risen victoriously from the grave, that by faith we might have the privilege of coming here and joining with his people to give testimony to that reality. That in a world full of death and decay and destruction, we eat what is good. And we are nourished and strengthened in the truth of life because we live, because he lives, because his spirit is working life in us. And we believe it by faith in the Son of God who loves us and has given himself for us. And that truth doesn't change, even as he doesn't change. It's a never-ending source of bread that abides because Christ is with us as we are him, in him. And he abides with us forever, and that in the last place, because that too is a great promise. We'll never be hungry. That's why we don't need to sit here and eat a full meal, right? We'll never be hungry. We'll never be in a place of life where we can't find rest and refreshment. We will never be brought to a place where we cannot drink deeply of him and the wells of his salvation, even if we find ourselves at times in dry and weary lands where there is no water. He's always with us. He always abides with us. And so because of that, we may come, knowing that he is faithful to bringing us to his word and to his body, that we might be nourished and refreshed. It's the truth of the word. Where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers? With his body and blood, as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink the cup? In the institution of the supper, Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body, that the blood of Christ was given unto a complete forgiveness, unto a complete remission of all your sins. When the Lord gave the disciples this sacrament of the new covenant, he would speak to them of the necessity of partaking in him. Take, drink it, all of you, because it's the only way. We must eat of the bread of life. And it is the truth that divides those who truly believe from those who don't. Look again at verse 52. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Whoever feeds on this bread will live because of Christ. That bread abides because his word abides, and it does so forever. What a promise. What a grace. That he continues to feed us even as we feast upon him. And that in eating this bread, we focus upon what is important, on that which satisfies. Again, that's what we need. And so that bread abides in us, congregation, in three ways that we want to close with. That bread abides as we remember. We remember it. We don't allow that memory to leave us for a moment. And we certainly don't always need a week of preparation that we should be remembering it either. It should be before us always. Remember what we eat. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We remember it. But that bread also abides with us as we proclaim it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That you continue proclaiming, I'm still longing for something. And all the saints are longing for something. That day where we will sit and feast forever at the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's our longing. And until then, we will be satisfied in the richest of fare in Jesus Christ. And that bread abides in us and among us as we participate. Because the promise is repeated by Paul in these words, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? A true understanding that this is mine. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread, that there is a unity now that comes as we come here. That we are one people eating of one bread, because that bread is that one way who is Christ. It's only found in him. Don't seek your nourishment or refreshment in anything else today or ever. In anything other than Jesus. And we celebrate that truth together. So remember it and believe it. Leave whatever else you are trying to be satisfied in and find your life in Jesus. Proclaim your dependence upon and life in Jesus. Believe the word that he has given and the life that he has offered. And then participate in him in the forgiveness of your sins. And in the way that his sacrifice makes us one in him. This is true spiritual food and drink for our souls. And so let us come then hungering and thirsting as we seek the Lord while he may be found. As we call upon him while he is near. As we forsake our wicked ways. And as we find our salvation and forgiveness in the one who abundantly pardons. Amen. As we prepare to come to that table, let's take the Blue Psalter hymnal, turning in the back page to the pages to the form for the Lord's Supper, form number 2, to the formulary found on page 151. Where we read, Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was delivered up to be crucified, the Lord Jesus instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion, saying, This do in remembrance of me. In obedience to that command, we now celebrate this memorial feast. We therefore bid all of you who have confessed your Lord and who have truly examined yourselves according to the admonition of the Apostle Paul, to come in contriteness of heart and assurance of faith to commune with Christ in the partaking of this Holy Supper. And those of you who have asked to come and surround this table with us this morning, you are heartily welcome. We thank you for the bonds that we have in Jesus Christ, and we pray that you'll be blessed in the supper with us. As we now draw near, let us consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should keep it in remembrance of him, and that he, by this sacrament, should nourish and refresh us unto eternal life. To observe this holy supper in remembrance of him is to proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. In partaking of this supper, therefore, we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior promised to the fathers in the Old Testament, that he is the eternal and only begotten Son of God, that he assumed our human nature in which he fulfilled for us all obedience and the righteousness of God's law, and that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly. We remember that he was bound that we might be loosed from our sins, that he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, that he became a curse for us to fill us with his blessing, and that he humbled himself on the cross to hell's deep agony, which wrung from him the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That God might never forsake us. We remember also that he was buried to sanctify the grave for us, that he was raised for our justification, that he is exalted at God's right hand, that he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. And we remember that the shedding of his blood has confirmed for us the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace. As we thus commemorate the death of Jesus Christ, we are assured that he will truly nourish and refresh us with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. This he promises in the institution of this supper, saying, Of the bread, this is my body, and of the wine, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many under remission of sins. With these words, our Lord directs our faith to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. He also assures us that he, by his death, has taken away our sin, the cause of our eternal death, and has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By the Spirit who dwells in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, he brings us into true communion with himself and makes us partakers of all of his riches, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, he causes us together with all true believers to be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the Holy Apostle says, seeing that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And inasmuch as it is said to us, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come, we are assured by this Holy Supper that our Lord Jesus will come again to receive us to himself, and that we shall sit down with him and drink with him the fruit of the vine in the newness of our Father's kingdom. That we may now obtain these blessings, let us implore God for his grace. Let's pray together. Our merciful God and Father, whose grace abounds beyond all our sins, we pray thee that in this supper in which we commemorate the death of thy dear Son, thou wilt so work in our hearts that we may yield ourselves ever more fully to Jesus Christ. May our contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, the only heavenly bread, so that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him. So confirm us in the covenant of grace, we pray, that we may not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins to us and abundantly providing us with all things necessary for body and soul as thy dear children and heirs. Grant us thy grace, that we may cheerfully take up our cross, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all our temptations and trials expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, who at his coming will make our mortal bodies like his glorified body and take us to himself in eternity. Answer us, O God and merciful Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit belong all praise and adoration, now and forevermore. Amen. As we now come to the table of the Lord, let us with heart and mouth confess our Catholic and doubted Christian faith. Let's recite the words of the Apostles' Creed together, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be nourished with Christ, the true bread from heaven, let us lift up our hearts to Christ Jesus, our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us firmly believe all his promises, not doubting that we shall be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as surely as we receive the bread and wine in remembrance of him. The bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given unto a complete remission of all our sins. The cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks is a communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was given for a complete remission of all our sins. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and let everyone say in his heart, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so Jehovah pities them that fear him. Bless Jehovah, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless Jehovah, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Jehovah, all ye his works in all places of his dominion. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. And now unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb, be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. O merciful God and Father, we thank you with all our hearts that in your boundless grace you have given us your only begotten Son as a mediator and sacrifice for our sins and as our food and drink unto life eternal. We thank you, too, that you give us a true faith whereby we become partakers of these your benefits. And since you have, through your Son, Jesus Christ, ordained the Holy Supper for the strengthening of that faith, we humbly ask you, O faithful Father, that through your Holy Spirit, this remembrance of our Lord and proclamation of his death may truly increase our faith and enrich our fellowship with Christ. May this proclamation of our Lord's death also be used by you to bring others into this blessed fellowship, so that all your children may be gathered in to share with us the joy of your salvation. Hear us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.